Chapter 19. Family Reunion. Through the front seat window of the bus, I can see my mother and Lex waiting at the drop-off point on Fifth Avenue. They're holding hands, gazing into each other's eyes. This is my last chance. If I can reach my mother before Miri gets within 50 feet of her, maybe she'll see my resemblance to her sister and listen to me. Maybe she'll believe me. The bus stops, and I squeeze my way toward the door. Not so fast, Liana whispers into my ear when I'm stuck waiting for the door to open. Before I realize what she's up to, she rubs some sort of jelly onto my neck and whispers, "Till the next moon has come around, you have lost the use of sound." I open my mouth to yell at her, but I can't speak. This was my last chance. What now? If only my dad were here and not at the Long Island stop picking up Prissy. I step off the bus and get pushed to the side as Miri and her invisible wall, now back to 50 feet from her, disappear from my life. There's nothing I can do but watch helplessly from farther down the street. I have to tell them the truth. But how? Through the crowd of parents, returning campers, and tourists, I watch my mom hug fake me first. Fake me looks flushed with happiness. Then mom hugs Miri. My sister holds on to her longer than she ever has before. I guess the whole runaway plan really freaked her out. I can see their mouths moving, but they're too far away for me to hear what they're saying. So I summon my raw will and think, bounce their words against the cloud to make these words 10 times as loud. Yes, I know it's not my best rhyme, but what do you want? I'm under major pressure here.
Let me help you with your knapsacks, Lex says.
I can hear him. Wahoo! Thanks so much, fake me coos. You're such a doll. I try to make out my sister's face for a reaction. Come on, Miri. Would I ever call Lex a doll? No, no, I wouldn't. Unless I was calling him an antique doll. Miri looks at my fake face for a split second longer than necessary, but then looks away and continues walking. No, Miri, no. I try to hurry after them, but I smash into the wall. I settle for following at my 50-foot distance while listening to their conversation. Miri and fake me are trailing slightly behind Mom and Lex, walking to the corner of the street.
Mom's going to be so impressed with how good your magic's gotten, my sister says.
Tell me about it. It's almost as though I've been a witch for years.
My mom and Lex wait for fake me and Miri to catch up.
I have an announcement, my mom says.
Oh, my God. She's engaged. Is she engaged? I squint, trying to see if she's wearing an engagement ring.
What?
Miri asks.
I told Lex about us.
She did?
You did?
My sister asks.
Wow. I can't believe it. That's like huge.
I wanted to do it right this time. A clean slate. I wanted to be honest with myself and with Lex.
You're the best, Mom, Fake Me says. And honesty is so important. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I'm glad you didn't get scared away, Miri says to Lex.
Lex laughs.
Scared of her? Never. But I have to admit, I thought she was, well, a little off when she first told me. I mean, witchcraft? Give me a break. But she proved it to me, and I came to terms with it.
How did she prove it to you?
Miri asks. Lex winks.
Let's just say it involved a dozen roses.
My mother giggles.
It's not unusual anymore for a woman to give a man flowers.
It was when I watched them grow out of my living room carpet, he says.
I can't believe you did that,
Mary squeals.
Now don't get carried away,
my mom says. The light changes and they all cross the street, with me following as closely as I can.
I'm still a non-practicing witch.
She takes Lex's hand.
Most of the time.
You're good for my mom,
Mary says to Lex, then adds,
I was pretty nasty on visiting day. I want to say I'm sorry. I was having some issues.
Don't worry about it, he replies. Clean slate for us, too.
You'd better watch out, pipes up fake me. If you're not nice to my mom, I might turn you into a mouse. My mom wags her finger.
Rachel, we will do no such thing.
Fake me turns bright red.
I was just kidding.
Mom puts her arm around fake me.
And how's your Glinda going?
It's getting good, fake me says.
She's gotten really good, Mom,
Mary says.
Great,
my mom says as she steps onto the curb and pulls fake me into a hug.
I'm so proud of you, honey.
Fake me's smile has lit up my entire fake face. I can't believe I'm watching all this family bonding from 50 feet away.
I love family bonding. I'm the queen of family bonding. This is a new low.
You realize, of course, my mom says, that you still have a lot of work ahead of you. Control, control, control.
Are we taking a taxi? Fake me asks.
No, Lex drove. We're parked in a lot just on Madison.
Thanks for picking us up, Mary says.
No problem. I'm just glad the bags get delivered.
I hurry behind them as they make their way to the south side of the street and then down a driveway into an underground lot. The restraining spell won't let me follow them down the driveway, but from my angle, I can still see them if I squat. Lex opens the trunk of the car and stuffs our two knapsacks into it. Then Miri and fake me climb into the car.
This is it. They're going. What should I do? Do I just stand here? Do I follow them in a cab?
Liana will probably put a restraining spell on the entire apartment, on the entire school, on all Manhattan. And any day now I'm going to get sucked back to Switzerland because of Liana's ankle magnet. I watch as Lex opens the passenger door for my mom, then closes it. He walks over to the parking lot attendant to pay and gets the keys. He opens his car door, gets into his seat, starts the car. My life is officially over.
Thanks, sweetie,
my mom says, rolling down her window.
How much do I owe you for parking?
Nothing,
Lex says with a smile.
It was free.
Oh, come on, tell me. It must have been a fortune. The girls were so late.
Really?
Mary asks.
How long were you waiting?
We got here at 12:30 because you were supposed to arrive at 1,
she says while rifling through her wallet.
It's now 1:45. Lex, tell me what I owe you.
One kiss.
Rachel, help me out here.
Mom says, pointing to the price list on the wall.
It was $8 for the first half hour and $4.60 for each additional half hour. How much do I owe him?
$17.20, I think, but don't say because I can't talk.
Excuse me?
Fake me asks.
How much do I owe Lex?
My mom asks.
You know I'm no good with numbers.
Fake me hesitates. I don't know.
Ha! Huh!
But I bet she knows she should know. After all, she knows everything about me, right? Too bad our expertise isn't transferable. My sister does a double take.
What do you mean you don't know? You should know.
Of course I know. It's,
Are you counting on your fingers?
Mary asks in disbelief.
No.
Why would I do that?
As they pull out of the driveway onto the street, I hear my sister scream.
Stop the car! This isn't Rachel!
Wahoo to the power of a billion!
Lex slams on the brakes.
Excuse me?
She's an imposter,
Mary cries.
It's Liana in disguise.
Phew. What can I say? It's about time. Lex drops us off at the apartment. He kisses my mother. Still gross, but I'm learning to live with it. And says,
have fun, ladies.
Check in.
My mother gently teases. But I know she's relieved. This is a hen roost. No roosters allowed. After my family realized the truth, Liana admitted to the silence and restraining spells, which my sister immediately undid. I then ran toward them, waving my arms and blubbering like a 5-year-old. Miri, also blubbering, threw her arms around me and would not let go. Now the four of us, my mom, Miri, the fake me, and the real me, are sitting in the living room. Unfortunately, my mom can't undo the switching spell. For that, both me's have to freely agree to swap back, and the fake me isn't being too agreeable.
Tough, she keeps repeating. You can't make me. There's no point in you staying Rachel if we all know it isn't really her,
Mary wisely points out. She turns to me with a sheepish expression.
I'm still sorry. I should have believed you.
And I say,
I know, Miri. You've told me 100 times.
More like 300 times, but who's counting? I keep telling her it wasn't her fault. I also keep reminding her that she's the one who saved me. If she hadn't picked up on the math thing, I would have been banished to Switzerland.
I want to talk to your mother,
my mom says to Liana, and we all gasp.
What makes you think she wants to talk to you?
Liana asks, snidely. The two of you haven't spoken in over 13 years.
Where is she, Liana? Tell me.
But Liana doesn't budge.
Tell me where she is,
my mother orders. This time, infusing her command with a little bit of raw will. Liana spits out the information.
Are you going to fly over and get her?
I ask, loving the drama of it all.
I was thinking I'd start with a phone call,
my mom answers, and disappears into the kitchen. Right. Tick-tock, tick-tock. The tension in the air is thick. Who knows what's going to happen? What if there's another fight? Suddenly, the smoke detector goes off. It's my mom, fake me says. She likes to make a smoky entrance.
She was always a drama queen,
my mom says with a sad smile. We run to the kitchen. As the smoke clears, a tall, thin figure appears by the stove. A tall, thin, dark-haired figure who looks like Mom, except she has a bigger chest and fewer wrinkles. Fewer wrinkles make sense. She is the younger sister.
Hello, Carol,
she says.
Hello, Sasha,
my mom says, walking over to her.
It's been a long time.
The two women are standing about a foot apart, staring at each other. Nobody moves. Nobody breathes. Nobody...
I sneeze.
Quiet,
snaps the fake me.
Gesundheit,
says my sister.
So,
Sasha says, now circling my mom.
So,
my mom says, standing her ground, arms folded across her chest.
It has been a while,
says Sasha.
A long while.
Sasha looks her up and down.
Your hair's red.
New look,
says my mom.
You look exactly the same.
I've aged well. Better than you.
Which is it? Plastic or magic?
Mom retorts.
Nature, of course,
says Aunt Sasha. She tears her eyes away from my mom and looks at the fake me.
You've grown.
Well, duh.
Actually,
my mom says,
you're looking at your own daughter. She's in my daughter, and vice versa.
Sasha looks at the fake me, then at the real me, and then back at the fake me.
Are you sure? My daughter would never wear her hair that frizzy.
Mom!
Exclaims fake me.
I can't help it! It's her hair!
Sasha frowns.
Liana, what do you think you're doing?
Fake me juts out her chin.
I'm not switching back.
Yes, you are.
No,
fake me says.
And you can't make me. If I don't approve the switch, it can't happen.
And my mom thought I was a pain in the butt. Sasha looks around helplessly.
What am I supposed to do with her? She's so difficult.
My mother snaps to attention.
You're supposed to parent her. She's only 14 years old. You're the mother.
But she never listens.
I can't help noticing the pain on fake me's face. I know how she feels. I can see her memories. I know what she wants more than anything in the world.
Why don't you try listening to her?
I suggest. The kitchen is quiet.
Now there's an idea,
my mom finally says.
She doesn't care,
fake me says.
She never has.
Her tough girl act doesn't fool me for a second. Her lips are quivering, and she looks like she's about to cry.
Tell her, Liana,
I prod gently.
Tell her how lonely you are. Tell her how much you hate boarding school. Tell her how much you need her. What for?
Her voice breaks.
I've told her before, but she didn't listen. She never listens.
I'm listening now, so talk, Sasha says impatiently.
But you don't care. You don't care that I hate school. It's like you want me to be miserable. You don't care about me at all.
Of course I do.
If this were me and my mom, at this point we'd give each other a big hug, proclaim our love, and probably cry a little. But this isn't my family. Well, okay, maybe it is. But it's the wacko side of the family. Every family has a wacko side, right? Fake me stomps her heel into the carpet.
If you care about me, why don't you want to spend any time with me?
Sasha closes her eyes.
Liana, she says slowly, we both know you're better off without me.
Fake me throws her arms up in the air.
Are you crazy?
I could never be a good mother, Sasha continues. I was never good at anything. Ask Carol.
My mother looks up in surprise.
What are you talking about?
About growing up. I was never good enough in school. I was never popular. I was never pretty.
Of course you were.
No, I wasn't. Not naturally. Anything I wanted, I had to use magic to get. I was never good at anything on my own. Not like you. You didn't need magic to make friends, to do well in school, to make men fall in love with you.
She looks at me and Mary.
To be a good mother.
You were always so insecure,
my mom says, shaking her head.
I never understood why. The magic you were capable of, even as a little kid. I was so envious.
You are not.
Of course I was. But you refused to see that. It always amazed me that someone so powerful could have so little confidence.
How could I have confidence when I had Miss Perfect as an older sister? Everyone always loved you best. Mom, Dad, people fell over themselves to be near you.
She turns back to Liana.
You had the right idea switching places with Rachel. You would have been better off with Carol as your mother.
Maybe.
Fake me looks up at her mother and, her voice cracking, says,
but all I ever wanted was to spend time with you.
Sasha's eyes lock onto her daughter's. Then she nods.
Fine.
Fine what?
Liana asks.
If you hate it that much at Miss Rally's,
Sasha says softly,
then we'll figure something else out.
As long as she doesn't appear as a JFK High sophomore, I'm a happy girl.
Now, Liana, if you don't mind,
my mom says, picking her nails,
can you switch back with my daughter, please?
No, Liana says, finally breaking the eye contact with her mother. There are still other things I want.
What?
She wants my soul, my room, my pink suede designer sneakers? What? Liana leans against the kitchen counter, a determined look on her face.
No more trips, she says to her mother.
Sasha hesitates.
Not even with you?
Liana half smiles.
Of course, with me.
What else?
Sasha asks.
Can I have a sister?
No way.
Liana's face falls.
Uh-oh,
is that the deal breaker? You can hang out with Prissy,
I offer. Liana doesn't answer.
She loves to braid your hair,
I say.
And this way you get the best of both worlds. You can return her to her parents whenever she gets whiny.
I'm not sure how Dad and Jennifer would react to my bargaining off their daughter, though I'm pretty sure they'd appreciate the free babysitting.
I'll think about it, Liana says, appearing to consider the offer.
Sasha takes her daughter's wrist.
Liana, you'll do it. How can I give real parenting a try if you're not in your own body?
All right, Liana says, but only if you dissolve the prison anklet on my real body right now.
As soon as we get home.
No, now, before I change.
Fine, Sasha says. Carol, do you happen to have any soy milk?
She opens her purse and takes out a packet of salt. My mom points to the fridge.
Help yourself.
A few seconds and a de-ankling spell later, Sasha has freed Liana's body, a.k.a. me, and my cousin is appeased.
Phew. Do we need one too?
Mary asks, looking down at her feet.
I did yours last night before you left camp,
my mom says.
Aw, Mom, so thoughtful.
Now switch back, Liana, Sasha orders.
Hold on,
I say, raising my hand. Now there's something I want. All heads turn toward me. I motion to my aunt and my mother. Before we switch, I'd like to know what happened between the two of you.
Yeah, says Mary. Why don't you two speak to each other?
My mom doesn't answer. A clean slate, the real me reminds her.
It's hard for me to talk about, my mom says.
Sasha dives right in. Carol killed our mother, she says bluntly.
Oh, my God.
She had a stroke, Sasha, my mom says.
Sasha points a long red fingernail at her sister.
It was your one screw-up, but it was a biggie. Mom had a stroke, and you could have saved her. You could have healed her, but you didn't.
I couldn't, my mom says.
The red claw is still pointed at my mother.
Why? Sasha asks, her voice full of contempt. Because Miss Perfect thought that using witchcraft was beneath her? Please. You're only a non-practicing witch when it suits you. When someone's life is at stake, you act, Carol. You do what you have to do. I will never forgive you for letting her die.
Mary grips my hand.
Is it me you can't forgive?
My mom asks.
Or is it you? Let me remind you, you weren't here when it happened. You were in Paris with Liana's father. Or was it London? It's hard to keep track. You kept running off on us.
I needed to be on my own, Sasha says, eyes flashing. I needed to be someplace where everyone didn't always compare me to you.
That's no excuse for the way you acted. Not telling us how to reach you? Why are you always so immature? By the time you came back, it was too late. She had been gone a year.
Sasha turns white.
Not a day goes by that I don't wish I'd been here. But I wasn't. I was a terrible daughter, and I admit it. But you,
she spits at my mother,
you were here and you did nothing. You should have saved her.
Tears stream down my mother's cheeks.
You don't think I wanted to? Do you think I wanted her to die?
My sister and I immediately move next to our mom and put our arms around her.
But you're right,
Mom says sadly.
I could have saved her. And I didn't.
I suppress a gasp.
Why not?
My mother doesn't speak for a moment. She lowers her head into her hands, then slowly raises it and says,
to save a human life, another human life gets taken.
Whoa. Heavy. You should have cast the spell anyway, Sasha screams.
She wouldn't let me. She said she could never live with that kind of guilt, and she didn't want me to live with it either. Dad wouldn't let Mom use it on him when he was sick. We were young, but I remember. And Mom listened to him.
Well, Mom was wrong. And so were you,
Sasha says flatly.
You just let her die.
I didn't know what to do. I hesitated. And then it was too late. She was gone.
Sasha shakes her head.
You should have done it.
But, Mom,
Fake Me says, looking up at her mother. Anyone could have died in her place. Someone you loved. Or what if it had been you? Sasha blinks twice.
and then you never would have been born. If only we would have been so lucky.
Kidding.
Kind of. We're all silent.
Sasha looks down at her hands.
I just miss her so much. Maybe I needed someone to blame.
My mom puts her hand on her sister's shoulder.
She missed Dad. She said that she was ready. That she was needed somewhere else. That he was waiting for her.
The lights flicker off and then on. And then they do it again.
We all look up. Who did that?
Sasha asks.
Not me, says my mom.
Not me, says Mary.
Not me, says fake me.
Don't look at me, I say.
Do you think?
Mom asks. We look at one another in wonder.
Hey, she was a witch,
Mary says.
Anything is possible.
Liana jumps up, eyes blazing. Maybe we can contact my dad.
What happened to your father?
My mom asks.
Aunt Sasha turned him into a mouse,
I say.
She did not,
my mother protests, shocked.
Sasha, you didn't.
She did, fake me says. She told me.
I never actually did that,
Sasha admits.
But I wanted to.
You mean my dad is alive? Fake me asks excitedly.
Presumably,
my aunt says with a shrug. My mother shakes her head.
I can't believe you told your daughter that you turned her father into a rodent.
Though Sasha was always obsessed with rodents,
she tells Mary and me.
She used to have a pet mouse.
Sasha laughs.
I called him Mickey.
How original.
Does he know about me?
Fake me asks.
He knows that you exist, but I wouldn't let him have anything to do with you.
Did he know that you were a witch?
The real me asks. Sasha sighs.
Yes, he's a wizard.
Fake me squeals.
Don't get too excited,
Sasha says.
He's not a very good one.
Fake me takes off for the door.
Let's go find him!
My mother clears her throat.
Don't you think we should switch you back before you go gallivanting across the globe? You probably want your father to see the real you, right?
Oh, right. She looks down at my uneven chest. I don't want him to think I'm deformed or anything.
Gee, thanks.
Goodbye, boobs. Hello, me. I hope it all works out for Liana. Really, I do. Still, I feel pretty confident that I got the better end of the deal.